It has been 6 months since the city's Department of Planning and Permitting began enforcing a new law to rein in illegal short-term vacation rentals. It's gotten help from neighbors who have filed online complaints to help the city ferret out the scoff laws. Since December, 423 complaints have been filed online. DPP has assessed $292,000 in fines, but so far has collected just 1,000. Of those complaints, the city has cited 358 violators. DPP Director Kathy Sokugawa declined an interview about the progress to date, wanting to wait until draft rules on legal bed and breakfast permits are rolled out for review later this summer. So we asked for a list of the violators and reached out to the group Save Oahu's Neighborhoods for reaction. Executive Director Larry Bartley says he and his members are encouraged and heartened by the city's efforts.
The results are really multifold. One is we anecdotally know that a lot of operators have shut down. They've stopped operating even before they were cited or even warned, right? Just from fear of the enforcement, which is a positive thing. But we see here, I mean, dozens of non-compliant issues that the city has sent people letters on and so forth and started enforcement proceedings. And a lot of them have decided to stop operating also. So that's all very positive. Every house, you know, in every room that becomes available, that's taken out of that market, becomes available for other purposes, such as rentals for local people and so forth. So that was really the main thrust of our effort, was to get housing out of the vacation market back into local use. And so we see a lot of that happening. There are still offenders, for sure. And they come in various levels of resistance, right, shall we say, that some are, you know, already resorting to refusing service on documents and so forth, or listing their properties only at night when they think the DPP is not watching, and then take them off during the day when the DPP is watching the advertisements. Some are listed only on foreign language websites, and some have gone back to the way it was before there was Airbnb and VRBO, back to the mid-2000s, like 2005 to 2010. In that era, before those big organizations took over, they listed independently through real estate agencies, through travel agents, and so forth. So some have gone back to that also. They've dropped the Airbnb or VRBO umbrella.
Maybe using Craigslist umbrella. Or online.
Yeah, exactly. So we see them, they'll be the hardest to catch. But I think, you know, once the forest clears and we get a lot of people out of the business, then the city will be able to concentrate on those remaining and spend more effort, more concentrated effort on the ones who are the very egregious violators.
Yeah, because, you know, you can go on these websites and these folks are claiming, oh, I've, you know, been operating since, you know, whatever, year 2000. And so, you know, they've been doing this, they admit it.
Right. Oh, we went to council hearing after council hearing, and dozens of people stood right before the city council, the mayor, and everyone, and said, you know, I operate illegally, and there's no problem. So they don't consider themselves illegal, most of them. They know they are, but they don't think of it that way. So they think it's, you know, the old Texas model. It's my property. I'll do what I want with it. Right. So, but that's why we have zoning laws, and that's why we have residential zoning and apartment zoning is for people to live in, not for lodging for guests.
I know the Department of Planning and Permitting is in the process of coming up with draft rules, bed and breakfast permits that they plan to start issuing later this year.
I don't think the current enforcement effort is really related to the new permitting process. I think they're totally separate issues, and that the people who are going to try and get permits and so forth will probably be very legal operators, you know, once they get a permit and satisfy all the requirements. I don't really have a concern about them. It's what's remaining out there, the people who will continue to operate without permits, without non-conforming use certificate. That's a grandfathering that went in 1990. They'll continue to operate until somebody really forces them out of business.
Right, but I think the city has told me that, you know, they'll be looking to see if folks have any outstanding notices or violations, you know, when they go to apply to try and get a legitimate bed and breakfast permit.
That may be, and so that would be a factor. The city would make that rule, though, and make that decision. I don't think that's in the law. I'm not sure. Maybe you know, but I don't.
No, well, I think they're just still drafting it, so.
No, you're talking about the rules, but the law that passed, Bill 89 that passed last summer, I don't think that specifically is in the rules about they can't apply for a permit if they've ever received a notice of violation. But maybe that's something the city will put in the rules, and I'm not privy to that yet.
So. And so what are your thoughts on the ask by the city for folks to file complaints, and if they see scoff laws in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I think it's great. They've set up a set of rules or guidelines about how to do that, and that you can get that. But you can file a complaint, even anonymously, with the city and tell them what's going on, and then they will investigate.
And then what are your thoughts? I mean, given that this is a first start for the city with this new law on the books, but we have other counties that are kind of ahead of us, ahead of the game, and have actually harsher penalties.
I'm not really too much aware of what's going on in Maui and Kauai. I know the Big Island, I worked with the people over there on Bill 108 that passed last year, and that was unfortunate, I thought, but and they worked to try to prevent it, but it passed, so they are going to open up a lot of permitting on the Big Island, and I think they'll regret that eventually.
Is there anything that you think that we could learn from the other counties about how they're approaching this problem?
I think the directors and the council members could work together better to come up with some more uniform legislation. But then we really don't want to, from Oahu, we really don't want to dictate what the people in the other counties want to do. If they are happy with vacation rentals in their neighborhoods, then that really is their issue and that's their business. So,
but is there anything,
as far as those who want to fight it, we're always willing to work together with them.
No, yeah. But is there anything you think that RDPP can learn from the other counties
from their enforcement
their
history? Yeah, and I think they have. I think they've talked to each other about that, and some of that went into the new law that passed Bill 89, last summer.
So you're encouraged, though, by what you've seen so far?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Anything else you want to add just about the state of our neighborhoods at this point?
Well, anecdotally, we get a lot of reports about, like I said earlier, we get a lot of reports about people who've stopped doing it and more. And I'm not sure how that's reflected in housing prices and rental prices, but I hear they've come down a little bit. So if that is the only thing that impacts that, I don't know. But I know there's a lot of other pressures on the housing market, like the military housing allowance and so forth. So we never pretended that the vacation rental and issue was the only thing forcing, housing prices way up. But it was one factor, and we hope to remove that factor and bring those prices down and bring down the rents, especially for people who can't afford to buy anyway but can't find a place to live. We know in shoreline areas, like especially North Shore and Kailua, businesses have actually quit because they couldn't get help because the help could not live in those communities. They would have to travel. And I know of a couple instances in Kailua and one on the North Shore where that happened, where they just closed up. They couldn't get help, and the owners of small businesses couldn't run the thing 24, every day of the week by themselves. So they closed up.
And so if more affordable rentals for our local people turn up in those neighborhoods, that would help the small businesses?
Right.
Anything else? Any final thoughts on just where we're at 6 months after the crackdown?
I'm really happy that we got Bill 89 passed. I'm glad the city is working on enforcing it. And, we're in a kind of a wait-and-see mode right now. We want to see what the city does, how effective it is. And we certainly don't want to be biting at their heels at this point in time. And hopefully, be more supportive and make sure they're doing everything they can. And then we'll look at it in a few months and see how it's going and see if there's any fine-tuning required legislatively,
Okay. Yeah. Larry Bartley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Larry Bartley, Executive Director of Save Oahu's Neighborhoods, talking about the city's efforts to rein in illegal transient vacation rentals. The group was formed 15 years ago in an effort to preserve residentially zoned areas and help with the problem of short-term rentals and the effect on rental prices, homelessness, loss of community, and crime.